Okay, good. So we're recording now. He started off the Maamar by giving a Hasidic interpretation of the Gemara in Brachos that says a person has to hear with their that in prayer a person has to hear with their ears that which they are saying with their mouth. And at the halachic level, what that means is that you have to speak loud enough so that you're hearing the words that you're saying. Yeah. But at the panemius level, what he says is that the word ata, you, is referring to Knesset Yisrael, the collective consciousness of the Jewish people. So you have to hear with your ears that which Knesset Yisrael is saying through your mouth. Perush, okay? When a person is praying, they have to commune with the collective consciousness of the Jewish people, seeing themselves as a tzinur, right? A channel of expression for the longings of the collective of the Jewish people, and hear with their ears that which Knesset Yisrael is saying through their own mouth. Yeah. And then he started speaking about the relationship of the individual with Knesset Yisrael and how a person doesn't achieve shlemus by himself. Rather, it's dependent on at least having a relationship, a working relationship with the klal, because the person is by their nature, the individual, by his or her nature, is lacking and flawed, and only by maintaining a relationship with others that are more perfected in those areas where they are flawed can they themselves be more perfected. So it says a person who is cut off even from one single Jew, he has some type of conflict or feud with even one single Jew, it's as if he's missing a limb. Humachaser b'mezimos libo ever echad, right? At the limbs of his heart are lacking. So that's why it's important to approach prayer through this consciousness of communion and being united. Closing the window and turning off the AC, so it's a little bit clear now. Okay, so we're continuing on. We're on page 4. So we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, sorry. We are 8 lines from the top of the column. He's Hallelu B'Shem Kodesho. וזהו הישהללו בשם קודשו. דלכאורה אינו מובן לשון הישהללו שהוא לשון נפעל. Ostensibly, the pasuk is trying to say praise his holy name. But hishalalu, again, as the Alter Rebbe often does, focusing on the grammatical elements of the word, hishalalu is lashon nifal, that something is happening to you, or perhaps you're doing something to yourself, right? Like the word lehitlabesh means that you are dressing yourself. Yeah, to get dressed, lihit labesh, means you're dressing yourself. So his halalu is also this passive or something happening to you phrase. So the chayin amuvan shu shaloshon his halalu shu loshon nifal, kamo nishbav and echal, like to swear or to eat or to be eaten, right? So it says this isn't an appropriate way to phrase that word because you are the one that is praising God. That you should praise God's name. So what is this lashon nifal? But the idea is that God opened my lips. Open my lips, ufiagiti lasecha, and my mouth will give your praises. That right, that's the opening verse mandated by Chazal to begin the Shmoneh Esrei, right? Uber pasuk ze yuvan al darach mashal hinek shaladam is pal barova itim tzarich liyagia rabba beizbonenus achi is pal belev. A person typically requires a tremendous amount of of meditation and focus until his heart is influenced. And sometimes, there are other instances, he doesn't require any effort. It's just like it flows naturally. Right, immediately upon contemplating the awesomeness of the divine, so the heart flows in and of itself without knowing where it came from that his heart is being pulled by this intense love. And it could be even a wonder to the individual experiencing this. He's like, wow, how am I being inspired? How is this coming so easily? How is this flow happening so easily without any effort on my part? As the pasuk says in Tehillim, so that my soul will praise you and not be silent. Uchsiv Elohim al damilach. It's also in Tehillim. God, do not be silent. Uperish bazaar, and the Zohar explains this pasuk. Tekay al b'chinas malchus, that this is referring to the attribute of malchus. Shemezameras tamid nahara tata kari tadul nahara ila veloch shachich. That this pasuk is referring to the lower light, which is constantly calling out to the higher light, and beseeching it to not become dark. V'zeo v'ani tfila. I am prayer. The pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Dalet. V'ani tfila. David HaMelech says, I am prayer. Ani hibachinas malchus. Right, the ani, the word ani is always kabbalistic, referring to this attribute of malchus that the Zohar is referring to. This attribute, hibachinas tefila, ubachinas malchus kalula me'eser sfiros chabad umidos v'dibor. Ubachinas malchus. This attribute of malchus kalula is included by or is made up from. Arundan is coming in. Great. Ubechinas Malchus, and this attribute of Malchus, Klula Me'eser Sfiros Chabad, is included from all of the 10 attributes, right, including the Chabad, the Mochin, Umidos, and the lower attributes, the Dibor, and speech. Ubechinas HaDibor, Mimenu Nimshichu Asar Ma'amaros, and through this attribute of Dibor, through which all the Asar Ma'amaros, the 10 utterances that maintain creation, Hamunubashim Ba'olamos, that are clothed in the created world, ubifrat b'neshamos u'b'malachim, and specifically, right, even more pronounced in the souls of human beings and the malachim, meaning the spiritual creations. It's more clear how they are clothing for the 10 utterances of creation. Shemekablim shelo al yidei helem kolkach, because the spiritual entities, they receive through less concealment. So it's clearer how they have divine origins. When there is revelation of the Ein Sof through this praise, Shalmidas Malchus, through the attribute of Malchus, meaning the attribute of Malchus, which is Tefillah, is giving forth this praise of the divine. Hainu sheha Giloi bechabad ubemidos ad gam bechinas hadibor shem Malchus k'mosh kosov v'mani zamercha, through all the attributes of the Eser Sfiros being expressed through the person's dibor, through the person's speech, right? As is alluded to through the psukim that we said, l'mani zamercha and al damilach, v'hine al derech mashal, understanding this whole idea, this whole mystical dynamic through the following parable. Ba'adam atachton, the lower man, meaning the man in the material world, kishemispalo berusa deliba, when he prays with a full heart. Just to highlight what's being said over here. The mashal is not like a mundane mashal of some, like, you know, made up story. Like the mashal is what's actually happening in the world. So like the mashal is the person, like the individual, actual human being, the physical human being in the world, acting out this whole thing. So in a very deep way, we are a mashal for what's going on in the upper worlds. Right, the individual person acting out the mitzvos, performing the mitzvos, he's the mashal for everything else that's going on in the supernal worlds. Okay? But just to keep that in mind in terms of what he's saying now, okay? So al derech mashal, ba'adam atachton, the man, like the individual person down below, kishemispal bruza deliba, when he prays with tremendous concentration, the gilo chukas alev, and he's revealing through his speech his intense yearning in his heart for the divine, sha'az adiburim yotzim umka deliba, that the speech is coming out from the depths of his heart, v'rish pe'esh, with burning fire, v'davar hayotzim min alev nichnas alev, and something that comes out of the heart can there go into the heart, meaning something that's said with true authenticity can then enter someone else's heart, right? Hashomea, excuse me, it can enter the heart of the person hearing it. Achihu gamken mispal, right? That he's also influenced by this. So if a person has true inspiration, and then he can authentically express his inspiration with words, so those words will also inspire someone else. Mizem hashein ken imadiva b'kriyus, which is not the case if the words are being said with coldness and not being said through authentic inspiration. Ukmokain yuvan al derech mashal lamala. Also further understood through the mashal, beinyan va'anit filad b'chinas malchus, with that which it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, what we quoted before, va'anit filah, I am prayer, the b'chinas malchus shu b'chinas chabad umidos shebamalchus, which is again all of the ten attributes, the mochin and the lower midos, ad gam b'chinas hadibor shu b'chinas haosios koach hapol shebenifolim neshamos malachim, express through the osios hadibor, the letters of speech, which then can express the thing, the thoughts and inspirations of his heart, that it can then trigger this tremendous inspiration without any effort at all. What's this one? Aleph Hey Vav Yud Resh Ahava? No. Right, Ahava Vira, excuse me. Ahava Vira, love and awe. Hanim Shachem Milamala Avodas Matana Etain. So basically what he's saying until this point, okay, just to highlight what just to summarize what he said until this point. What's being said is that when a person succeeds in being Mavatal himself into nullifying himself to the collective of the Jewish people, right? He communes with the collective of the Jewish people. He understands that his individual reality is nested within the broader reality of Knesset Yisrael. So what that means is that he's now made himself a channel for the yearnings of Knesset Yisrael, for the ultimate cosmic yearnings of the Jewish people. And then what emerges from his heart and then is expressed in his mouth is really drawing from that supernal inspiration of Knesset Yisrael. It's not his personal longings necessarily. Rather, it's being drawn from the supernal yearnings of Knesset Yisrael. Okay? And then when he hears those words, which are authentic, right? Those authentic words, which again, they're not coming from his own consciousness only. They're coming from the collective consciousness of the Jewish people. When he hears those words, it inspires him. It inspires the individual. So you now become a channel for something higher than your own individual self, that you speak those words and those words inspire you, right? It's like the time, like we've all had these experiences, like we've said something meaningful, right? What? Exactly. There you go. We can add that to the list of the Jungian confluence. There you go. Something, either one, I'll take it, right? Basically, right, we've all had these experiences where like someone poses a question to you, or you know, someone comes to you for help or something in which like you're approached by the outside, right? It's like imposed upon you to respond, and you need, like, you're put on the spot, so to speak, to respond. And then suddenly out of nowhere, like, you say something that's really on point. You say something really authentic, on point. And you hear yourself saying the words, and you're like, oh wow, that's actually pretty good. And you're like, you're surprised at yourself. What? Right, nachon, exactly. You say to yourself, I can't believe I just said that, right? And it's like inspiring to you, right? It's inspiring to you. So that's what it means when the pasuk in Tehillim, the first pasuk that we quoted, right? Again, the pasuk that's in that, right? The conglomeration of psukim that we open Psukim de Zimmer with, the Hodu Lashem Kiru Bishmo, right? So in that list of psukim is His Halalu B'Shem Kodsho. That appears actually twice. It appears in Tehillim and in Divrei Hayamim as well, right? His Halalu B'Shem Kodsho. Which, again, what it's trying to say is that praise the holy name of God. But as the Alter Rebbe pointed out, it's phrased in the passive. His Halalu is a passive term. Lashon Nif'al, Okay? So like, yes, you are praising God, but the act is a passive act, right? You're the one that is the subject through which the praise is being said. But it's not coming from you. It's coming from a place beyond your individual self, beyond your individual consciousness. He's hallelujah. You are just acting out the praise, but you're not the source of the praise. Okay. Sometimes a person doesn't merit to draw down speech from this high place. Right? Like the other verse that says that sometimes I am mute and I can't speak, right? And as Chazal say, right? Like I'm completely passive and silent, just like a sheep that's being shorn, right? You see these sheep. It's very interesting. Like you see, if you ever had a chance to observe sheep in any context, like they're the most passive animals ever. Like they're really just like they're unbelievable. Like even when they move. Like they're moving in following the herd, right? Like they're only getting the signal about where to go because that's where everyone else is going, right? But if you take an individual sheep and you just like sit it down and say, okay, now we're gonna shear all the wool off of you, like they're very passive animals, okay? So it's like you are silent in the same way that a sheep is passive. Yeah, so like you can't do anything. Yeah, if it goes in elam, the gam machmas gashmis uchamiros adam, and so too the right to the extent that a person is attached to their material self, right? She'ein lo kli lekabel giloizeh, which closes off access, right? Why is it such an important point, right? In the ascetic side of Jewish practice of limiting our exposure to gashmius, right? Not overeating, not oversleeping, right? Sexual activity, etc. All these things, the full spectrum of material experiences. There is this theme of limiting those things. It's not just to be civilized and not overindulge, etc. But it's that to the extent that you identify with your material side, that is the most powerful way of increasing your individual consciousness as the end all be all of your consciousness. You are only you and nothing else. But someone who is more in touch with their spiritual side, that's the side of them that is bound with everyone else, right? With the entire Klal Yisrael, with the entire world even, right? Again, from Rav Moshe Shapira, I must have said this in some other context, but like he said, like when Avraham Avinu said, I need X, what he meant was the world needs X. That's what he meant, right? He was so inextricably bound with the cosmic soul, yeah, that he like identified with that, like as part of himself, yeah. So similarly, the whole reason at a deep level about why it's important for us to develop this discipline in terms of how we relate to physical things, to material things, it's because that side of us is the side that brings us down to the hyper constricted consciousness of the fragmented individual. Yeah. Right, he makes himself a vessel not able to receive this revelation. I believe that is in order to receive the speech, right? This inspired speech that comes from a higher place. The first step is to arouse the love and fear in his own heart, or in his soul, right? The first step to being able to connect to a consciousness that is more cosmic, more universal, more global, right, is through Ava V'Yira. Once you're there, you no longer identify with the material, right? You identify with a higher plane of consciousness, and then you can receive the inspiration from that collective consciousness. This is what it means. This is why we start off prayer with this pasuk. Again, this is mandated by Chazal to the point that Chazal asked, "Wait, you're not allowed to have a separation between geula and tefillah, right? The bracha, like the last bracha of Kriya Shema, Goal Yisrael. You're supposed to segue immediately into Shmon Esrei." So the Gemara asks, "How can you say this pasuk in between?" So Chazal say, "No, that's already the beginning of Shmon Esrei. It's not a separation, right? That is the beginning of Shmon Esrei. Beginning of Shmon Esrei is Hashem's Fasai Tiftach, right?" Bechinas Shem Adnos Shu Bechinas Malchus Hu Aposech Sifsei HaAdam Hamis Palel. And as we all, right, so because as we all know, that name of God, the Adnos, the Aleph Dalet and Nun Tav, right, Adnos, right? Excuse me. Aleph. It's not a tough at the end. Aleph, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud, right? The Shem Adnos, that is the Shem Hashem that embodies this attribute of Malchus. Again, the recipient from all the other pieces that make up the collective. Malchus, right? Whereas the Lashon of the Zohar, right? Malchus is Klolius Sheba Klolius, right? It is the ultimate collective. It is nothing in and of itself. It is only the collective. It is only focusing on the fact that there is a summation that emerges through the binding of the parts, and that's Malchus, right? So like that's the consciousness of tefillah, right? The consciousness a person needs to be in when they're in tefillah is the consciousness of Malchus, that they're, right, that the individual identity begins to take a back seat, so to speak, and you commune with the collective consciousness. Uperush yagit hilasecha, the second half of that verse, that right, it says that my lips will give, or my mouth will give your praise. Loshon yagid hu hamshacha. That's why it uses that word yagid, right to tell over. Okay, but the word yagid also has the connotation of drawing down. How do we know that? Just at the right, at the pshat level, right? God, okay, that name, okay, ba God, that right, the how Leah gives the name to her to the child of her maidservant God, okay, ba God, okay. God is like mazal, which incidentally, I'll just note, I heard from HaChacham David Shalush, Zichrono Livracha, who was one of the Gedolim of the last generation. He told me that he thinks that he did research on the etymology of the Indo-European God, right? The word God, like G-O-D, which is in German and in English and in a few other languages. And he says that this is almost certainly the etymology of that, right? The name God, which has this connotation of a flow from a supernal place, yeah. So that's it's very very likely that's the etymology of that word. Okay. So, but just in Yanenu, so that's why this word Yagid is used in this pasuk, right? Hashem's Fosai Tiftach, right? Adnus, the Malchus will allow my lips to be open, because again, I've put my individual consciousness, I've put that aside, and I'm now communing with the collective, right? Which allows my lips to be open. Allows me to be open to channeling the collective consciousness. Ufi yagid, and my mouth will draw down from that higher place to hilasecha. Kamashal hamoshech mayim migovel anamuch, right? Like a person drawing down water from a higher place to a lower place. Shamayim holchin me'eleim, right? A person like it has a right. If you have like a high, if you have a reservoir of water, right, and you turn right, and you open the stream, so like it flows down by itself. V'rakisha adam garam b'hatoso kli hamayim elyonim. All the person needs to do is tilt over the vessel holding the water, and then it flows out by itself. The praise that the soul is giving over to God, it's not because of the effort of understanding of the soul itself. It is the praise that is of the self, of the Malchus itself. Okay, we have to understand what he's trying to say in that particular line. Ufi eino ela hamagid, right? The mouth is only the magid. It's only the drawer. It's only the thing that draws down. Umamshech uvechinas garam ba'alma. It's only a cause, like he doesn't mean a cause. He means like in the way that Chazal use it, like an indirect cause, right? It's like you're only the medium, but not the essential cause. That's what he's trying to say. That the mouth of the person becomes a vessel for the inspiration to nest or to land on hashra'a, right, the eternal, the supernal speech. Going back to the original verse that he quoted, this is what it means that you will praise lashon nifal, right, that you will praise the holy name. And it doesn't say hallelujah, which is the active verb. When a person attains this revelation from on high, as Omer l'neshamos u'malachim elyonim shetihilasim v'shivcham ba'asaga shalahem be'elokim chayim she'ina tihila shalahem, that even the celestial beings like the angels, right, that are constantly praising God, And their praise comes from their own grasp of the divine, because they have more exposure, right, to the divine, because there's less concealment. She'ena tehila shalahem, that in truth the praise is not of theirs, it's not theirs, it doesn't belong to them, as it were. The sheyomer halalu rak shenimshach lehem mechinas tehila zu milamala ufiem yagid tehilasa, right, it flows through them effortlessly. Hanimshach b'hem milamala, it flows through them from above. This parenthesis, okay, fine. So the parenthesis just highlights, he says, this is why this verse, he's halalu b'shem kodjo, it was said every time they moved the ark into one of its new locations, right? The Aron HaBris, right? When they brought it into Yerushalayim, they would sing this verse, Shazai de Gilei Akush ba'aron, Shibachinas Noratilos, Nora Osios, Aron, Moshakosov. Fine. Very interesting. He says, like the Aron HaBris, right? The Aron itself, it represents the words, it represents speech. Right, Dibor Yotzei mi ben shnei akruvim. The speech comes out. It emanates from between the two cherubs. Okay, so the Aron, it embodies the divine word. Right, that's why the Sefer Torah is inside the Aron. Right, the Luchos, which are the Dibros of Hashem. Right, the speech of God at Sinai is literally embodied inside the Aron. Right, so the Aron is speech. Yeah, so the Aron is speech. So whenever they would transport the Aron to its new location, not like that happened so many times, but when it happened, okay, they would say this pasuk to embody this theme, that the Aron, which is Dibor, okay, which is speech, the speech of God, okay, or speech as such, not just the speech of God, but like speech in general, okay, its highest function is when it is operating as a passive channel for the divinely inspired speech. Umikol ze yuvan inyan shir hashirim. And through all of this, we can properly understand what's going on in shir hashirim, i.e. that the goal is to obtain a level of passivity, right? There's a certain passivity that we're trying to obtain, that it's not only what we're thinking of with our intellect, but rather opening ourselves up to the extent that we are allowing the inspiration to flow through, and that inspiration flows through it's the same. I was about to say two methods, but it's not two methods. It's just two sides of the same coin, right? Which is that coin is the melting away of the totality of the individual subjective consciousness, that you are that the sum total of you is just you, but really that's in fact not true. You is just a one node in a much broader cosmic universal reality. Yeah, and to the extent that a person can hone in onto that, yeah, to that extent they can receive the inspiration from that collective consciousness, and that is done through the avoda, right, of discipline in terms of how we relate to Gashmius. Because again, as we said before, Gashmius is the thing that strengthens. It strengthens the individual consciousness. It strengthens that sense of being a yesh v'davar nifrad, right, in the Lashon of Chabad, right? Yesh v'davar nifrad. You become a yesh v'davar nifrad to the extent that you're ensconced in materialism. Yeah? So to discipline ourselves in that, when a person obtains discipline in that, he's able... Sorry? Yesh v'davar nifrad? It's a term that we use all the time, right? Yeshus, right? The yeshus, yeah? Like you are a distinct entity. Yeah? The davar nifrad means like you're a distinct thing, you're separate, right? So obtaining discipline in that area is the way that we, right, that we can rise above that consciousness, and also actively communing, right, like in terms of a meditation before davening, yeah, the active meditation of the individual being a channel to express the yearnings of Knesset Yisrael as a whole, right? That's like the meditation prior to going into tefillah, yeah. And as the Gemara says, Shema ba'oznecha masha ata medaber beficha, that you will merit to hear with your ears that which Knesset Yisrael is speaking out through your mouth. Yeah. Tov shkoyach. This is the end of the maimer. Actually, as we pointed out, the maamarim tend to be a little bit shorter over here, and since it's 10:30, I think it's a good place to call it a night. Shkoyach. I will send the recording to the group.